can't believe we drove around all day and there's not a single job in this town. There is nothing, nada, zip.
Yeah, unless you want to work 40 hours a week.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, in front of the board. Mike Pappas in studio, and it's rainy, difficult to get here Monday morning. Just when they say be careful on the Lakeshore Drive S-curve, Greg sees a guy slide out right in front of him on the S-curve.
Whoops.
Did he have an SUV, Greg?
No. No, not an SUV.
I'm sure he had, you know, was he going the speed limit? No.
Nobody's going the speed limit.
No.
Not anymore.
No. S&P futures up 9.50, NASDAQ futures up 15.
We're up.
I was coming back from the South
Election
Side
week.
Last night. Yeah, people were aiming at me on the Ryan last night. Everybody was kind of like next to me, was like halfway in my lane. It was like I must have had a target on my truck yesterday or something, but I managed to make my way through. Went to a wake at my old high school yesterday, and you couldn't find a parking place. They had a football game going on, they had an open house, and they had this wake going on, and the line to get in the chapel had to be 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was pretty warm in the hallway, and of course I'm in my suit coat and everything, and
melting.
Pretty much melting. But I was guy deserved a long line. It was like going to wait for a senator, for God's sake. I mean, it was literally 45 minutes long just to walk by and say hello. Anyway, it was,
we should all be so lucky.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's dude had so much to live for God's sake. I mean, family is, one of his sons is was made like a lieutenant colonel in the Marines. He was in Notre Dame ROTC. So, you know, good for him. And he had all these grandkids and stuff. And I knew his wife before I knew him, before he knew her. her brother was went to grammar school with me.
You're practically the reason they got married.
Well, I mean, she two buddies met, one guy met a lady from St. John Fisher. Actually, he's from the north side. I don't know how he met her. And this guy was one of this dude's best friends, and this lady was one of her best friends, and they got married too. And, I don't think I've ever seen, other than a dignitary, awake that big. My mother or my grandmother told me my father's was that big, was huge because he was a policeman. But that you can understand, because every policeman will come. But I got to say hello to his wife and his kids and stuff. And I mean, just a pleasant group. And just what a shame. I mean, a lot to live for. And one of the good guys. So what time do we have Karen coming in? And
we're gonna have Karen Norrington Reeves on at 7:00.
And she's, for those that don't remember, she came out a couple times when she was running for Bobby Rush's representative spot. And actually, the first district, right? So he had license plate 1. And when did they stop, before your guys' time, license plate 1 in the state? Well, he had license plate 1 for House districts. But the person with license plate number 1 was always a Cardinal.
Well, not this time.
Not this time.
Not this time.
Yeah, this time around, she's running for a school board in the 10th district.
And so. This is a non-paying job, okay? And it's, we're up to like how many million dollars we go through this when we actually get her on. It's up to millions of dollars. And here, in my district, in your district too, Greg, it's what a lady called Ellen Rosenfeld running against the school board. On the school board, I don't want to get into it too much with Karen. I don't want to torpedo her campaign. But the school board's support of the mayor and the mayor's relationship with the school board here.
Completely appropriate.
It is the most...
There's no conflicts of interest
anywhere. As I was in the Catholic school yesterday, it is one of the most inappropriate things I've ever even heard of in government. I mean, is the dude still getting... Anyway...
But do you see what Willie Wilson said?
No, let me try to finish one thought here, because it's hard for me to do. But here, I'm getting... Out of all the political stuff I get, and you got to be getting the same stuff, Greg, I'm going to say 80% of it has to do with this school board spot.
Now it does.
Yeah. The new school board, the partially elected school board, is going to be 21 people, 11 of which the mayor gets to essentially appoint. But he just appointed one of the guys, right? And didn't he already have to resign? Some guy who had no experience in anything except he was one of his buddies who was a community organizer. He's already had to resign for saying bad stuff about Jewish people, right, or something?
Oh, there's a few things they found on him.
Yeah, I mean, these
there were
being my buddy does not necessarily mean I get to be one of these jobs.
Well, that's that. There was there was a let's say child support question. There was a disbarment question, and then there was an anti-Semitic question. Whoops. I don't think they did much vetting before they picked him.
Well, here's
supposedly it was pretty obvious. Willie Wilson jumped on the bandwagon over the weekend, and he said...
Well, Karen Reeves, her name is on this, right? So these people essentially are running against the Chicago Public School slate. The teacher's slate with the mayor.
CTU, yeah.
CTU. So here's what they say about this. Ellen Rosenfeld. And they're saying the same thing about Karen, right? This is Project 25 calls for an end to public education. They got this lady as a Republican. Is an end to public education, limiting what our children learn, and it rips money out of our public schools and into the for-profit charter schools. I don't think charter schools are for-profit, necessarily. Republicans are pouring millions into our local school board races in an effort to privatize our public schools. Trump Republicans and out-of-state billionaires are attempting to buy seats on the Chicago school board. Isn't that what the teachers' union is trying to do?
It's not wrong if you're trying to do it.
So Karen, that's one of the reasons why she's coming on. She ran for a Democratic seat, and she got beat by Jesse Jackson's kid because he took $1.5 million or thereabouts from the Bitcoin guy like 2 weeks before the election and put him over the top. Which really sucks. I mean, really, really sucks. The guy's now in jail, right? So here's what they call the Chicago Republican Party. And the Chicago Republican Party, they got Karen Norrington Reeves as part of the Chicago Republican Party. She's no more Republican than I'm a jockey. I mean, who's kidding who? How do people print this crap?
It's if you say it enough, it's true.
I mean, I guess the big lie.
There's lots of lies everywhere. So,
well, yeah, but see, the
did you see Blago interview? Yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, you can't give the big lie because you're not big enough.
I mean, if you say it enough, it's going to be true for some people.
A big lie has to come from somebody in a position that you would never dream they were lying. It's not your buddy drinking a beer next to you who'll tell you that he ran the 100 and. In 9-2 when he was in high school, and it turns out the guy couldn't even run the 100. That's not the big lie. The big lie has to come from somebody who...
I've had someone at work look at me straight in the face and say they could run a 5-minute mile. like, you haven't done that in 20 years. What are you talking about?
5-minute mile is pretty good.
Yeah, so that's impossible.
Well, what do people...
With a straight face. That was a big lie.
Marathon runners... run the equivalent of a 5-minute mile for 26 miles. Right?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's just a sprint for 26 miles.
You know, when I used to run...
I think I could sprint for maybe like, you know...
Oh, no.
100 meters.
I used to run some. I mean, one of the days I wasn't playing handball or basketball. And my pace was about 7:30. Now, if I ran 1 mile, I'm going to say if I really... killed myself, I could probably be in the 5:30 range, but I'd be dying. I mean, that means I'd be, you know, sprinting the last part. There's no way I could have done a 5.
Well, it's just the big lie.
But I mean, but five,
he might actually believe it, which is hilarious.
I mean, 5 is 4 minute and a minute 15 second quarters consecutively.
Right.
I think when I was younger, I could have done a
See, you're part of the big lie now. No, what are you talking about? You could run 5 minute miles?
No. I said I could have run a minute 15 quarter, a minute 10 quarter probably, but I couldn't run four in a row.
Fast. Yeah, that's just fast.
It's real fast. I mean, it's like a you ever see those guys running at the marathon? It would be pretty hard. I mean, I think you and I, when we were in our best shape, if we were running the first base, we'd probably be running a little faster than that, but not much.
Yeah, for 90 feet.
Yeah, for 90
feet. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's about it. Anywho, Dub Bears, what the hell? Over?
They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
They are who we thought they were. We let them off the hook.
I love that guy. Too bad he's dead, Dennis Green.
Let him off the hook.
Let him off. But I got him beaten. Maybe to how did those guys? Who's our weatherman, Matt Byrne? How
That's
in
me,
God's
yeah.
name in the desert would a retractable dome do you bleep up enough to where you've got a hailstorm in the first quarter and can't get the dome closed fast enough?
That sounds like a mechanical issue more than a weather
issue.
Well,
no, it takes what usually half hour to close those things, doesn't it? Greg?
Yeah.
Well, they still scored. I mean, or not the Bears, but Arizona still scored. They made it happen.
Yeah, well.
I think it was a touchdown in the first and two touchdowns in the second.
Now,
the Bears were sitting there with zero.
Oh, yeah. One of the things kind of on my, I don't even like to say things like bucket list. One of the things on my bucket list is I would like to go see a game in Lambeau Field. And
that's a tough ticket.
It's a tough, well, you know what, though? One of the problems is I don't want to go to a night game and drive back God knows when. I really don't even want to go to a 3:20 game. I want to go to a noon game where we go up there, stay the night before, go steal some, you know, buy some brats and people, have a couple beers, go to the game, and drive home.
Yeah.
But that's not, Now, did you watch any of the game yesterday? It was on after the Bears?
Which one was that?
They were playing the...
I got it all mixed up because of Red Zone.
They were getting trounced by the Lions. It was...
Oh, yeah.
It was a driving rainstorm. Yeah. I don't know how cold it was. After watching that, I'm going, I might have just crossed this one off the bucket list.
Right.
It looked brutal up there, didn't it?
It looked... Yeah. And Green Bay actually had some catches that they missed because of that weather that was...
Well,
plus... That would have affected...
Explain to me this, Lucy. Why exactly... One of the dumbest things you can do in football. Well, there's a lot of dumb things. Why would you have the quarterback taking in the shotgun when the ball's wet as hell and it's raining and it's windy?
You're supposed to have practiced that the whole week. I mean,
how do you practice? Well, what? But I'm saying, even
easy.
So, why not get up a little behind center? And when it's how many missed passes from center do they have in a row?
It
Plus,
was,
if it happens one or two times, don't you? Why don't you say?
You think you would adjust, but
yeah.
No.
What is with these guys? They got their plan and they're sticking to it.
Yeah, yeah. The best was during the Bears game, though.
I didn't have a chance to watch that because I was waiting in line at the wake. I was listening to Tom Thayer for most of it, but he was critical enough. What did you see that I missed?
Oh, I don't know the field goal drives. It's just 200 yards. They had a whole game's worth of their whole game was like one half in a normal game. It was just god awful. I mean,
well, they
had
two decent offensive linemen. They both got hurt, right?
I think they had 14 third down plays, and they maybe converted three of them. It was.
What did you
Williams had 200 yards. It was not great. He was sacked, I think, five or six
times.
And
he got hurt in the last play of the game.
Yeah, and he shouldn't. And the announcers were even saying, you know, maybe he shouldn't be in here right now. And sure enough, he's real slow getting up and then limping off. I think he's all right.
Did you watch the Dallas game?
No.
Same thing. They had like 10 or 12 first downs, not one of them on third down.
Right.
I don't, you know, those guys, Jerry Jones has got to be pulling his hair out. First, he gave all that money to the halfback. And
Eberflus said it starts with the coaches, right?
Starts with the people you have. They don't have an offensive line.
They don't.
The defense is good, and look how many injuries they have.
Their offense is bottom five, I want to say. They have
charitably.
Yeah, they're just. They've got a rookie QB, a terrible line, and
special teams are pretty good.
It's not going to get better.
What the?
Their receivers are so good, though.
So what? What? I look at the rest of their schedule. And you know our Moes.
Well, they're favored next week. I mean, they're favored by a touchdown.
So it's the only game they're playing the Pats.
Yep.
Who I think they can beat.
Yeah.
They're playing. They haven't. How have they not?
They're favored by a touchdown.
How have they not played a division game yet?
4-4.
They've not played a division game.
Eight games so far.
But I'm saying they have the Pats. They have the whole division they haven't played yet. So they got to play Green Bay, Detroit, and Minnesota twice. Maybe they split with Green Bay. But probably that's 0-6.
I think that's more likely to get steamrolled by.
Okay, but I'm saying out of the three, the only one
they need to catch bottle some lightning.
Well, they need to play
lightning in a bottle.
They need to play like the Rams. The week they played the Rams had what? How many people out?
So they need to get lucky on injuries.
Yeah. Well, I mean it's not who you play; it's when you play them, right?
I guess.
So they got those guys, and then they're playing the 49ers. Not gonna beat the 49ers. So that's seven losses and maybe one win. So how many? What are they now?
4-4.
There's another game in there somewhere. Who's the other non-conference game besides the Pats and the? Let me dig up Bears schedule here. But Chicago Bears schedule. Yikes. Okay. Since you're here, before we get Jan and Karen in. What is going on with all the commodities? Should we be buying, selling?
Gold. Everyone's holding today for the election and the Fed meeting this week. So first election on Tuesday. You know, hopefully they have results by Wednesday or Thursday. Probably not. And then you got a Fed meeting, which, you know, are we cutting again? It seems like a foregone conclusion.
We had a really bad labor report.
Yeah, if we're cutting, I mean. How are the bonds still going down?
Because the inflation is coming back huge, and they're not buying stuff. So the long term is going to keep going up, even though the short term goes down. Are we playing the Patriots? I'm going to say they beat the Patriots. Packers no, Vikings no, Lions no, 49ers no, Vikings again no, Lions. What do you think? Can they beat the Seahawks?
Seahawks look pretty good.
Day after Christmas on a Thursday night. National game. Ugh. Then they finish the year with the Packers. Maybe they beat the Seahawks. So I'm going to say they are. What are they now? 4-4.
The Seahawks are 4-5. They lost. It was close though. L.A. was good.
I'm saying L.A. Bears lucked out there.
Yeah.
Because L.A. was pretty hurt that week. Now the Bears, if they lose this right tackle for any length of time, he's the only. He's the only guy in the offensive line is one of the top 20 at his position, isn't he?
LA had that ejection too. That was bad. Puka Nacua.
I didn't see that.
Tried to swing at somebody. First.
Why do you swing at somebody when he's got a helmet on?
I don't know. And why do you swing at somebody who's a linebacker and could absolutely flatten you? But it was pretty early in the game and he got tossed out and they still won. That's they got to feel good about that one.
Well, you know, not all quarterbacks are weenies.
They went to overtime.
In fact, none of them are weenies. But remember,
Jameis Winston was a pretty big weenie.
Remember Joe Capp back in before your time.
Joe Capp.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He was a quarterback, and he was a real big dude. And I think he went to Minnesota for a while. He was second string, and then he. I think he was Minnesota. Boy, Lou would know this story. He was, the offensive line wasn't blocking him. He said something about, if you guys don't start blocking, I'm going to personally kick your ass after the game. And he meant it. He wasn't afraid of any offensive lineman. He's a big man. I'm going to personally kick your ass if anybody lets one more guy in at me or something along those lines. And the linemen are like, ooh. They blocked better after that.
Yeah.
It
says Vikings here, yeah.
Yeah, and God, what years did he play? Was he 70s or 80s?
67 to he had an NF or he had a Super Bowl appearance in 69. And then
he was one
three
tough
seasons
boy.
With the Vikings, then the Boston Patriots in 70.
There's a name from
he
the
He declined or no.
I'm sure Lou knows all about him. Maybe on Thursday, SP Futures up 250, NASDAQ Futures now down 23. Individual stacks, we've got Tesla down almost $5. We've got Meta down 416. They were up some last week. Amazon $1.72. Apple down $1.50. So all these guys in the 7, except for NVIDIA, is up 250. It's the only one out of the 7 that's up today. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at cognoshr.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howell, Matt Byrne on board. We have Greg Pappas in the studio. We should have Mr. John Flanagan with us. So Matt Byrne, on a Monday morning in Chicago at 5:30 when it's raining and you're on the Kennedy, does that give you a case of the Monday?
I mean, when I couldn't see the road in front of me, yeah, I was feeling the Monday. It was pretty bad, especially I was out in the suburbs, you know, just by, I think it's by Bussy Woods. And yeah, I couldn't, the rain was so thick, I could not see very far in front of me.
No, down here was never more than kind of the first low speed on the windshield wiper. That's all I needed.
Oh,
you were worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were talking about standing water and all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, yeah, it's barely raining here.
Yeah, it's tough.
Anyway, the Dow's down 15 again. Individual stocks in the Dow. It's Chevron, Texaco up 171. We're just about to say that oil is up on the day. The Amazon down $1.87. Anyway, let's go through the rest of this stuff. Europe. European markets, we had DAX down 11, call that flat. FTSE up 53.6%. CAC around up 12, call that flat. So we got FTSE up and the rest of them kind of just kind of hacking around. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 1,000 points. Greg, that's 2.6%. God, these guys. I don't know if it's fun to trade over there or it's brutal. I don't know. Hang Seng up 661, that's 0.3%. Shanghai, however, up 38, that's 1.1%. Asia-Pacific markets rises, except for Japan. Actually, you know what? They did not trade today. Oops. I don't know why. They have a day off. They last traded on Friday, so let's not count Nikkei. The rest of them are up. As investors wait U.S. elections and China Parliament meeting outcome. On Friday, Dow was up 288, S&P up 23, NASDAQ up 144. So we came back from a down day before. Didn't come back all the way, and then we were nowhere near. Bonds down 7 basis points to 4.29. The Bund unchanged 2.41. Japan unchanged 0.95. Well, and here's some news. Up 208, but still back up to 71.57. It got to like 74. Flew down to 67. Now it's creeping back up again, but seems like it's in this range. Brent up $2, 75.14. Natural gas down 5 cents, 260. Arbub up 6 cents, 202. We have gold up 20 cents, 27.49. Right in the middle of this 2700 number. See if it makes it to 28. I don't know. Silver's up 24 cents, 32.92. It did touch 34. It's nowhere near there. Copper up 3 cents, 440. Foreign exchange. The euro is a 109.05. So the dollar, it's up. It's, dollar's down a little bit against the euro. It's also down a little bit against the British pound at 129.7. Japan down 122, which is exactly the opposite way. That's now 151.7 yen to the dollar. I know that's confusing, but that's the way you have to look at that one. Crypto up 67,068.839, well under 70. Where it was got up to like 72. Man, that's a lot of stuff. What do you got for us, Traffic, Weather, Sports? We already talked about dub errors.
Yeah, it is indeed. Well, it is currently 6:41 a.m. here in Chicago on November 4th, 2024, day before election. As far as the traffic, inbound on the Kennedy at 53 minutes from the Jane Britton Interchange to O'Hare, outbound at 22. Weather in Chicago, humid and drizzly this morning, 65 at Midway, 64 at O'Hare. Later today, high of around 71 with chance showers. Down in Phoenix, 54 degrees, clear skies. Later in the day, high of 72 degrees and sunny skies. In the NFL yesterday, week 9 of the 2024 season, Bears lose to Cardinals, 29-9. The Bears are 4-4 and bottom of the NFC this season. Packers lost to Lions, 24-14. And then tonight, Buccaneers play Chiefs at 7:15 p.m. Chiefs have not lost a game this season. Over to you, Chief.
What's the line on that one, Greg? I got to believe it's
tonight.
Yeah, it's 10.
I'll check for you.
We have Mr. Flanagan.
Good morning, all.
Oh, well, Mr. Flanagan, I want your dad, not you. I gave you our condolences.
I'm a poor imitation of my dad.
Well, I think some of us all are, but God, did you ever feel that way?
Yeah, all the time.
I mean, when my dad was, what age he was, 28, he'd already been to the South Pacific and fought a war and back here and was already a policeman and everything. I mean, I think he was a little ahead of me in maturity, yeah, wouldn't you say?
My dad was Battle of the Bulge. He was wounded, Purple Heart, and dedicated postal worker, hardworking guy, real estate broker on the side. I mean, he had lots of hats, and I think he wore them all with, great honor. So, yeah, wish I could be half as good as he was.
Are you kind of surprised? Because we just, not just a while back, we managed to find my uncle's Purple Heart. Are you sort of surprised that the Purple Heart is exactly the same whether you get shot in the buttocks, like, what's his name, Forrest Gump, or whether you get killed?
Yeah, I guess that's, in some ways, I think that's probably the best way to have a medal like that administered, is that you make no distinction in what the injury was, how life-threatening even it was, or, what the odds of recovery were, or long-term suffering. But the idea that you were in service and that you sustained an injury of any kind was a point of honor. And I think, that's probably the best way, the fairest way, to make sure that everybody in the military feels like they're all in this together.
I think if you died, there needs to be a gold dot on it or something.
Yeah, I mean, the service stars back home, people got gold service stars when their, kids were killed, as opposed to the general ones, if you had anybody in service. As far as I know, I don't think there's any military honor, that changes based on, if you eventually die from your injuries.
No, it really isn't. Let's put it this way. It could be a did you ever read, what's the name of the book? About the guy who was Donald Sutherland was in the movie. The guy was the German dude who had the big awards.
Spread is currently at 9.
What's
Chiefs
the
are favored by?
The what? Something cross with oak leaf clusters.
Was it MASH?
Oh yeah. The Distinguished Service Cross.
Yeah, oak leaf clusters. Meaning you were the absolute the biggest badass there was, and it had to do with this guy who was a spy. They put him into into Britain to try and figure out where the invasion was going to come in Normandy. And he actually found out that, for those that don't know this, I'm not an expert on it, but the British or the Germans thought that the invasion was going to come right across the channel. So the Allies put together an entire plywood tanks, all kinds of stuff, a whole huge base just where you would put it if you were going to go right across the channel. But it was all wood. It was essentially a total fake-out invasion force. And this guy's job was to go over to find out if it was a real invasion force. And he ended up not being able to get the piece. I think he ended up getting the word back, but they didn't believe him or something. But it was a... Look at the Donald Sutherland movies, and I read the book. The book was fantastic. Meanwhile, Dan, we got stuff going. We got Karen coming on today. I was already reading some of the stuff. They've got her as a Trump Republican now on this thing I read. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? What district are you in? You're not in our district, are you?
I'm in the first district on the northwest side, which is between Michel Pierre and Custer. Custer is the CPS CTU back candidate, and Pierre is the opponent. And the characterization is the same as it seems to be in all these races.
She's on here. They list all the dirty Republicans, and Michel Pierre is one of them.
Yeah. They're MAGA, Project 2025, all this smear campaign stuff. So.
Who's District 5? No candidate worthy. What the hell is that? This is just the Tribune endorsements. No candidate. Can you vote?
There's only six districts, I think, aren't there?
No, there's 10.
Oh, 10 is...
Yeah, well, there's 21 people on the board. The mayor gets to pick 11, and this is the other 10. And the Chicago Teachers Union wants to pick the other 10, too, obviously.
Well, this is only half of the... board being elected. Wait till we get the whole board.
No, it's not even half. I mean, he's still got an advantage, even if all these people win. Is this somebody's name? No candidate worthy. Is it Greg's actual name? He's running with that as his nom de plume, or what do you call it?
No candidate worthy is no candidate worthy of whoever they're endorsing.
I know, but I'm saying, could you run with that?
Someone.
Could you be Greg Pappas running as no candidate worthy? Could that be your like?
I think if I change my name to that, I might get some votes in the presidential election.
I'd be right there. Be all over. Now, who am I voting for? Russell says he doesn't want me voting for him. I don't know, Jan. You would never serve. You gotta go.
I would never serve.
You got to get off the block to serve. Kevin, I don't know. He's so wrapped up in teaching. Who we got left? Lou's busy.
I think our era's time has come and gone. So.
Could I vote for Mike Murphy?
Sure.
But how many Mike Murphys are there, though? What if you just put Michael Murphy down? How many Mike Murphy? You wouldn't even know who the hell you're voting for. How many zillion Mike Murphys do you think there are?
All of Ireland would be your president.
Yeah, all of Ireland would be your president. God. So, if I have one more person tell me how they went and early voted and had to wait an hour and a half in line, Jan, I know I'm in an unusual spot. I literally walk out my front door. There's two houses, a little park, the park district door, and that's where I walk in, and there's never anybody there. What would possess me to go on a Saturday and wait for an hour and a half?
Well, what an arcane idea, Tom. Voting on election day, that's become kind of a passion with me.
I don't get it. But it is so easy. I mean, I'll bet if I have to wait for one person, I'll be stunned. And there's nobody ever there. No. I hope they don't ban our precinct one of these days, and I have to actually go somewhere, and then maybe I'll be with the rest of the people waiting in line on a Saturday or something.
Well, I now have to go more than a half mile to my polling place.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not in my ward, actually. But it's, there was never anybody there. Usually, two people with like four or five booths. They don't have a setup for big crowds, that's for sure. And there's never any big crowds there. It's really changed completely from what it used to be. And when it used to be a polling place like a block from me, and you would wait in line a long time, This was the, you know, the excitement of election day that I think they've done everything possible to dissipate or to, you know, relocate or, you know, displace someplace else. So it's changed people's attitude about what's really happening on election day, and I think it makes it easier to put people in a mood where they have to wait days or weeks for the results, which is, you know, pretty horrific in my book. But the emphasis is now on, you know, the poll workers get paid to work these early voting stations for weeks before the election. So when it comes to election day itself, they're stretched pretty thin. They don't have very many polling places. There's not many people using them. Not many poll workers there either. So,
yeah, like which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, the polling place is getting away, or people not using them. I just, if it's that close, you know, unless you have to stay at work or you know you're not going to be around, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, kind of go down that road. But we don't even have, you know, the schlump standing in front telling you to vote for. So I'm thinking I have the presidential election, which still one of you guys will be my vote. I've got we got no state senator. I think is Quigley running on a post, or he's got some schlump running against him. But that's useless. We have our state guys, and I don't even they're, no, the state people aren't even on the ballot. They were on last year, right, with the mayor. So then there's 9 million judges, and none of whom I know. So what am I doing there?
Well, it's a turnoff for people, Tom. You know, I think.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna go. I mean, it's I always do.
Of course, but I think there's a lot of reasons why if I weren't committed or felt strongly about somebody, I could find lots of reasons to be discouraged just by the fact that there's so little to vote for.
Well, I'm gonna vote.
I'm of mind now. I don't vote for anybody who's unopposed. I'm sorry. I want to at least keep up the fiction that I'm not living in the Soviet Union selection system.
Well, you know,
I'm not gonna vote for people who don't have.
What's the difference? We got one more party.
Can we just appreciate for a second how the nominee or the guy who was in charge of everybody for the board was a 9/11 guy who said it was an inside job?
Well, that wasn't my biggest objection to him, right?
He's in charge of the school board.
Has known him for a couple of years and had interactions with him in various, actions. It's, you know, the Daily Center and stuff. But he thinks he's a fairly decent guy, except that, you know, he doesn't know what his, you know, credentials were to be, you know, the head of the school board. And
mayor's buddy.
Yeah, well, that's clearly the only thing it takes now to get any appointment.
It's one thing if the random guy on the Facebook says 9/11 was an inside job. If it's the leader of the school board, you might have an issue.
But if you are, how can I put this? It's not bizarre.
That would really shake up the curriculum, anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, if your group, for lack of a better term, are a bunch of people that not to make some statesmen or anything, all have like law degrees, MBAs, those kinds of things, and have done stuff where they maybe run a company, do stuff, actually, you know, been on a couple of boards.
The guy was disbarred.
I'm saying, but though if that's your gang, for lack of a better term, and you start appointing some of your friends that you can trust, you got one thing going. If you're a community organizer and have never done any of the other stuff, you've never really had a job for a regular person, another regular company, you've never signed a paycheck, and your gang is going to be a bunch of people like yourself. And I'm not so sure if one's not qualified, the next one's not all that qualified either, right? Is that pretty harsh? Or, I mean, I think it's kind of the truth. You know,
the vetting process is what, you know, concerns me. That there isn't any.
There isn't any.
And this is the sort of thing where, you know, if you don't have anybody looking out for this kind of stuff, and anything leaks out, it doesn't even have to be anything very big. But the idea that it wasn't caught, or nobody thought it important enough to search for this kind of thing in somebody's background, it undermines the whole process to an extent that you begin to distrust any appointments made by such a, you know, a system. So this is the thing Johnson has now fallen into a trap for, and I think it's likely to get a lot worse. And, you know, there's only, 2.5 years left in this term, but I just see this as a recurring thing, and they don't have the bugs worked out of it at all.
He has 2.5 more years to screw things up. That's like kind of a long time. I mean, I mentioned this wake I went to. Well, in the 40 minutes I waited in line, I ended up, fortunately, right next to a guy that I knew, a high-end guy in my industry for a long time, okay, when I was on the board of the SIBO and so forth. So I actually was able to talk to him, and he was talking about, who's our SEC guy? Is it Gensler? Gensler was his name? He was the head of the SEC?
Gary Gensler.
The comment from this guy was, he was never impressed by that guy. How the hell is he head of the SEC? I mean,
well, he's best friends with Sam Bankman-Fried's father.
Yeah,
Polly.
Yeah. I mean, he goes. I don't know how he got that job, because he there's nothing in his background that says that's where you want him. But yeah, it's one thing to put, if I was president, of course you'd have to leave your apartment, John. I don't know if you do that. I could make you the ambassador to Ireland. Because what do? You go to dinner with a bunch of people and keep your pinky up and drink a couple of wines or beers and be kind of a good time Charlie. You could do that. Well, the people under you do all the work, right? But it's one thing to do that. It's quite another to make you the head of NATO or something, right?
Or head of the school board.
Right. Well, we're going to head off to break. Come back. We have Karen Reeves. And this should be very interesting. Jan, if I ask the wrong question, because she's trying to win this election, shut me up, will you? Sure. SP Futures up 6. NASDAQ Futures up 3. Be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Right here, right now.
Round up the usual suspects.
This is calm, it's gonna get you.
Hello, and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. I'm at front of the board. Greg Pappas in the studio. John Flanagan on the board. We also, I think, have. Do we have Karen with us? Karen, are you with us?
We do indeed.
I am. You sure do. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right, but I'll tell you this: wasn't way too long since we've talked. Way too long.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are running. First of all, congratulations on your not new job, but I just spotted it. The old job, you did such a good job that they had to give you a new job, right? Is that what happened there?
Well, you know, the old job was my life's work and passion in workforce development and helping people create new lives for themselves and enjoy economic mobility. But, you know, I got forced out of my job when I ran for Congress. So really? I couldn't talk about it during that time, but it was absolutely heartbreaking. But my new gig is an extension of the old one in many ways. I'm the CEO at IC Stars, which is a workforce development program focused exclusively in the information technology industry.
The does Chicago have a chance of being a bright spot for that, the IT industry? I mean, the governor's trying to put that group down in Southworks.
Yeah, the Quantum project, yeah. So I really do think that we have significant opportunity here. I mean, we've got a number of STEM high schools. We've got a number of projects that have sprung up, like DPI and P33. I think there's a great opportunity here, but we've got to make sure that we're preparing the next generation of technologists. And also, one of the things I've discussed with my staff recently is that folks think that they've got to stay exclusively in the tech industry, and IT undergirds everything, whether it's logistics or retail or healthcare or manufacturing. And so we've got to make sure that people understand that and that we're preparing folks for the myriad careers that exist within the field.
Funny you should mention that. I had one of my friends from actually high school and college, and last week he's a civil engineer, talking about all the damage from the hurricane and how the people who put that together and what a absolutely fascinating career that is. Mm-hmm. Civil engineering, and he says, like, nobody wants to go into that anymore. He goes, I don't know why. It's unreal. It's incredible.
Well, it's not that they don't want to go into it. They don't know it exists. Well,
there you go.
They don't know what a civil engineer does, right? And so, again, it's part of why I'm running for the school board, because we've got to make sure that our young people have exposure, experience, and opportunity to explore different careers. If they don't, you know, you can't be what you don't see. And if you've never heard of civil engineering, like, you understand what a bridge is, but you don't understand who builds it or how it or the technology behind it, right?
Well, yeah.
So we have a responsibility to give that exposure.
Karen, how big of a job, you know, I saw your name here, by the way, on the lady who's running in our district, what's her name?
Rosenfeld, Ellen.
Yeah, Ellen Rosenfeld, and all the rotten stuff they're saying about her. And by the way, did you know you're a Trump Republican? Your name is on here.
You know, the last time I checked, I was a lifelong Democrat who's never pulled a Republican ballot. And so the thing that real and Ellen's husband is the Democratic commitment, right? I mean, it's just what they're doing is so obnoxious. And you know, I actually just cut a video that'll start running today. The thing that I think is most disconcerting about it is that they know all the people they're targeting in these districts are actually Democrats. They know it, and yet they're continuing to say this stuff because they hope that it pulls votes away.
I want to help you this election, not hurt you. So I'm trying to ask the nicest questions I can, but so I'll say it. You don't have to. This relationship between the union and the government and the city and the politics, I've never even read anything like it, much less seen it. I mean, I don't think Tammany Hall, for God's sake, was this untoward. Why did this all happen?
Well, you know, I've said this publicly, and I'll say it again. I really feel like the teachers' union has become the next Democratic machine in the city. But I do feel that given this school board election, given everything that's been happening over the past 4 weeks with respect to the board's resignation and the new board coming on and the new board chair's resignation, I think that there is a backlash that is happening. And, you know, there's an old saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And we just, it is in no one's interest to have any entity have absolute power and control over aspects of government. It's just, you know, we need diversity of thought. We need differing viewpoints at the table so that we have a full 360 degree perspective. And there's got to be give and take. There have to be checks and balances. And it just does not make any sense for any one group to be able to control the fifth floor and everything that flows from it.
Karen, how did I have, you know, my group I hang with, a little older than you, which is good for you, by the way. You're not this old, but my cousin, who's a lot older, but he went to Tilden High School, and mm-hmm. he said they had every any trade you wanted to be in, there was something there for you. They even had a garage where they had an aircraft engine they took apart and put back together and taught people how to use. There was woodworking, there was plumbing. My significant other went to she went to Kelly High School. They mm-hmm. had the college prep, but she said if you want to learn how to be a cook, you could do that. It was all kinds of stuff for all different people, to the point where I almost wonder why adults didn't go at night to learn some of this stuff. But how did that all stop? I mean, a lot of what you did in your former job and you're trying to do in this job seems to be picking up the paces to where the school board has sort of failed. Or am I wrong there?
No, I think you're right, but I think it goes beyond the school board. I will tell you, it is a societal shift that happened decades ago, because my mom's generation, my mom's in her late 70s, and in her generation there was home economics, there were trades, there were there was college prep, there was all a variety of opportunities to explore paths and to be prepared for life beyond high school. And as a country, we started to push this college for all narrative. And rather than having young people, work in backbreaking work, in manufacturing and steel mills and all that, that generation said, no, I want better for my kid. And so college is the way out, right? And so pushed that generation to go to school and forgot that there's value in a hard day's work. There's value in skilled trades. There's value in the arts. There's value in technology. There's value in mathematics and science and in a college career path. There's multiple paths to the middle class. And what we've done is sort of denigrate one in favor of the other. And yet now we've made college so unaffordable that kids who want to go have a difficult time going and persisting once they get there, if they get there. And then, within Chicago Public Schools, 40% of our young people, 1 year after graduation, are neither working nor in school. So there's a huge problem and a disconnect in what we're offering and preparing our young people for.
That's really something. Now, you're running for this board, and I'm going to say, you don't have to say it, you got into more than you thought you were going to get into with this campaign. You never... the stuff they're saying. I mean, plus the position's unpaid, right?
Right. So all this, all this sturm and drang over an unpaid volunteer position is fascinating to me. So I will say it too. Like, when I got into this, I knew that there would be the traditional pulling up of signs, and they also use box cutters around here, and they walk through and slice the signs up. So I knew that there would be that kind of thing because I ran before, right?
Yep.
You could never have told me in a million years that CTU would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars just in my race sending out negative mailers on me, accusing me of being a Project 2025 proponent and a Trumper. I mean, the last mailer last week was really just nasty. I take comfort in realizing that they've done the exact same thing in each of the 10 districts throughout the city, and that they've done it targeting people who have no connection to, any quote-unquote dark money or no connection to the charter school network or anything. There's a guy up north who's completely self-funded, and they send out the same materials on. So, it's a one-size-fit-all smear campaign.
How does the guy?
So that's been interesting.
The guy you're running against is Robert Jones. He's got a $118,000 loan from somebody. How the hell do you pay a loan back?
Wait. Let me clarify for you, sir. Yeah. There are four people in my race, myself included.
But this is the guy who got the most money.
The CTU guy has $300,000 in cash from the Chicago Teachers Union.
Is that Jones?
Yes, that's Jones.
Well, they're breaking it out here between they got $186,000 coming from a gifted, but there's another $118,000 that's a loan. How the hell is a guy going to pay a loan back when it's an unpaid position?
I'm unaware of him having any loans. I will tell you that CTU, there's actually a complaint pending with the State Board of Elections, but CTU essentially is funneling money through 12 different PACs to all of their candidates. They're using shill packs to fund the mailers. So the mailers I just mentioned, it's the identical mailer across all 10 districts, but nine of the districts, because they already forced somebody off the ballot in the fifth district, so that person's running unopposed. Their CTU candidate is running unopposed. But so across nine districts, they have 12 different PACs that are funding the various mailers, text messages, and positive mailers for their candidates. They so far have put in more than $2 million into these campaigns.
That's a number I was reading. I'm going to be straight out with the listeners. I'm a huge fan of Karen's. Okay, so I'm very partisan in this race, any race she's ever going to be in. But having said that, given your background, what the hell do they think you're going to do to go in there? Are they going to think you're going to bring stink bombs at a meeting or what? I mean, what in your background would leave anybody to believe that you are not pulling for the city, the kids, and everything else? Why are you so dangerous?
I'm dangerous because I'm an independent thinker who's going to make up my mind based on the data and the facts and based on what I know to be true as a CPS graduate and as the mother of a current special needs student in CPS. And so I'm dangerous because I'm not going to do their bidding. And it's very telling that in my race, there are four individuals. Two of us are former teachers. One is a former principal and an education consultant with a doctorate from Harvard. I have this well-rounded experience in law and government and board governance and education, right? And the person they endorse in our race is a pastor who was a hunger striker 11 years ago for a high school that is still failing. Right? It's fascinating. The only two people they talk to are the rapper, who considers himself an artist educator, and the reverend. Those are the only two people they spoke to in our race. And so, you know, and they also paid for five attorneys to try and knock me off the ballot, Tom. Like, it's just...
What are you, because of the signatures?
Yeah, but I had more than enough ballot signatures. But they, you know, they knocked off, I think, 15 or 17 people.
Isn't that one of the oldest tricks in the city here, though, to knock people off because of the signatures?
It is, but here's the irony. The candidate that they're endorsing, Reverend Jones, was 125 signatures short of being on the ballot. The other person they considered, Mr. Smith, was 100 signatures short from being on the ballot. And they were each other's only challengers. And so they struck a deal. And they dropped the challenge so that they could each be on the ballot.
That's unbelievable. What are the logistics? There's no runoff here. So if you get 35% of the vote, you're in, right?
No, if I get one more vote than the next person, I'm in.
Okay, so you don't. There's no runoff on this. So
yeah, it's a plurality. Yeah.
Well, you've got that going for you. I mean, is the district? I know you've lived there your whole life. I mean, does that mean that people in the district know you? I imagine the answer is yes. Are these guys even from the district?
So everybody resides in the district. You have to. I've lived here for coming up on 24 years. I've raised my family here. I built the Chatham Education and Workforce Center here, not far from my own home. I've been active with respect to my block club and, you know, neighborhood associations. And I do have the benefit of having run for Congress 2 years ago. So I do have some level of name recognition. I've been in the local papers. I've been on the radio. I mean, people know the work that I've done. I'm not saying that out of any arrogance. It's just, you know, I've been out here. Rhymefest, the artist, also resides in the community, and he's been active in the community. Mr. Jones is not someone who people would know. And then Adam Parrott Sheffer, lovely guy, in Hyde Park, is not someone people would know widely throughout the district. He's known somewhat in Hyde Park. So the district stretches from 26th and King Drive all the way to Altgeld Gardens and Hedgewish.
These districts are huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. They're bigger than congressional districts. So it's the entire southeast side of the city. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a lot of work.
Your first year, I'm going to certainly drop a note to the big guy upstairs that you get in. Say five of the 10 2025 Republicans get in. I had to take that shot. five of you get in. Now you're 16-5. Again, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is every meeting going to be, what am I doing here? Or are you thinking you can accomplish something?
I don't think that it has to be that, personally. I think that after tomorrow, regardless of the composition of the board, there has to be a recognition that we need to center our children in every discussion. That's the other part that's been so disconcerting about this. It's not about the kids. This is about political power. And we have got to focus on our children. And I think at the end of the day, we all care about kids. We may have different ideas about how our kids best need to be served, but we've got to step away from the polarization and the political, you know, nature of this and really focus on what is best for our kids' greatest and highest good. How do we get them to maximize their potential?
Do you think a lot of people from the burbs and so forth have written the city off? Obviously, you have not.
Yeah.
I have not, but I'm wobbling a tad. I have to admit, that's one of the reasons I want to have you back on, because you're gonna get my spine getting a little straighter again for the city. But boy, it sure seems like a lot of people have written us off. Can people like you and the rest of us that actually give a crap, can we get this bus back on the right road or no?
Listen, I think we can. I think if we don't, then what happens to our city?
I don't know. Right?
And I used to jokingly say, you know, if we don't get our acts together, we'll be Detroit. Not nice, I get it. And I have lots of family in Detroit. But we can't afford to allow our city to go financially bankrupt or morally bankrupt from that perspective. We have to dig in and care. And part of the reason that CTU has been threatened by me is because the people who care and want to dig in and want more and better are supporting my campaign, right? I am staying because I don't want to be like the 300,000 folks who've left. I love my city. I left for 10 years when I graduated from college because I needed to find myself and figure out who I was independent of my family. But I came back, and I've been back since, what? I came home in 2000. It is imperative that the people with intellectual capital, with financial capital, with a backbone, with political acumen and ethics as their North Star, be invested in our city. Because if not, then it's going to fall apart.
How far away, if we are, or if you were, well, you'd be mine if I was mayor, somebody trying to come to town, be it a manufacturing operation, be it an IT, I'd like to see us do more in the medical field with Northwestern mm-hmm. and Chicago and stuff, for you to look somebody right in the eye, because I know you do that, and say, hey, buddy, you need to be here, because look at the human capital we have popping out of these schools. Look at the lakefront, even though it's cold half the year. You need to be here for your company, or you're doing yourself a disservice. How far are we away from somebody honest like you being able to look somebody in the eye and say that?
You know, I don't think we're far. I mean, I think the governor is doing that. I think he's building out an infrastructure to be able to entice people to come. You know, he was in Japan just last month meeting with folks and talking to them and encouraging them to come and set up shop here. I've been part of appeals. You know, I was a part of the proposal to Amazon. I know they didn't come, but for their HQ2. But you know, I've been a part of those projects, the Good Jobs Challenge, which we did with the city, and my organization will be part of a Good Jobs Challenge Part 2 that's coming up. So you know, there is definitely effort underway, You all may not hear about it as much, but there's effort underway to attract companies that will hire our local talent. You know, part of the discussion around the quantum exchange is, hey, don't just hire locally for constructing that place, but invest in our community, invest in our schools, bring your employees over to be mentors and to train up our kids in innovative ways on the technology of the future.
Was there
There's
a plan,
great opportunity.
Is there like a plan in place if those guys, boy, I tell you what, if the government, never been a massive Pritzker fan, maybe because of the wealth difference or something, but if he can pull that one off, I'll tell you what, that's amazing. That land nobody's wanted for 40 years. But does that mean CVS goes back to having a couple of thousand people instead of the few they have? I mean, where that becomes a key school for that area? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has to come back to support places like that, doesn't it?
Well, there's a lot of things that have to be built in tandem, is what I would say.
Yes.
And there's an opportunity for the quantum exchange folks to help with that, to support that, to lead, right? To your question about CVS, where my aunt was principal for a number of years.
Really, really?
Yeah. My aunt and one of my aunts was the principal. Another aunt was a reading specialist there. You know, we are not having as many babies.
Yeah.
We don't have the same population size. And while I think that school closure has to be a last resort, I do think we have to be realistic about the sobering numbers with respect to population dwindling. We don't have 10, 12 kids anymore. We can't afford it.
Well, that's and the truth. So, but the areas of the city, and I don't want to drag off on something like this, boy, I normally take the train to the south side once in a while, and you're just going through areas there that, you know, my grandmother lived at 60th and Wallace, 62nd. Mm-hmm. Her house, the only house on the block that's left up. And I was on the west side, Karen, and Eisenhower, somebody messed up on the Eisenhower, so you couldn't get back there. I drove Lake Street all the way in. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there. I mean, how do you go from nothing to something? I mean, we have huge hunks of areas that, you know, we need. I don't know. I guess you can tear the school down because there's nobody there, but someday you hope there's people there again, don't you? I mean, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you hope there are people there again. And here's the other thing. That school, even though it's under-enrolled, there's still great space in the school. Why can't we put in a maker lab? Why can't we put in an advanced manufacturing training facility? Why can't we have dual generation work where we have our students going to school, but we also bring our parents in and have a career center there where our parents can get hands-on training so that their own economic opportunity can change, right? Why can't we bring in a community-based organization that is in need of space that could be co-located, that could actually be providing services to the community? This takes political will, it takes vision, and it takes innovation around investment, because it doesn't all have to come from the school system. You need public-private partnerships that recognize that investment in community has a significant ROI.
These ideas they're so close to mine, it's scary. Because I've always been a big, I haven't done the stuff you've done, but I've always been a big champion of education. My mother was. She went to Englewood High School. Every time, my mother was valedictorian of Englewood High School, believe that or not.
That's awesome.
she of course said nobody even knew what the valedictorian award. I don't think her parents even came to the graduation, so I don't think it mattered much. But
wow.
Well, I mean, they were immigrant Italian people, terrific people, but that's not what you did. Your kid went to school and did okay, and you know, we weren't part of it. But you remember it. I mean, those days. I mean, but I think their whole center worked around the school, and she said the school was everything to you because. Yeah. They didn't expect you to do homework. Your parents weren't going to help you. Half of them didn't even know the language, for God's sake. So
right,
the school did everything.
Right.
And she said the teachers were absolutely terrific. You know, it was everybody, even the people who left after they were 16, knew their civics, knew their math, could all read. I mean, you had a pretty serious education by the time you were 16, even if you didn't make it all the way through high school. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, but I mean, are your ideas, you know, going to be the... you know, am I going to turn off your mic when you say this at the meetings or what? It seems to me they're all common sense.
No, I feel like I will lead from behind where I need to and lead from the front where I need to as well. I'll be quiet when I need to be quiet and listen. And if I need to pound on a desk or two, I'll do that too, right? I think it's all situational. But if we keep as our North Star what's best and good for our children, I think we can collaborate. I'm not completely anti-CTU. I am anti their tactics. I don't know where they think we're going to get the money from for a 9% year-over-year increase over the next 3 years for salaries for teachers. I don't agree with their posture that this new contract proposal that individual teachers should make the curriculum decisions in their individual classrooms.
I don't know how you do that.
I have some significant points of departure with them, but do I believe that teachers need to be well paid and well regarded in their schools and supported and nurtured and mentored? Do I believe that we need to grow our own talent? Sure, I believe all those things. I'm not so far from them on every issue, which they would have found out if they bothered to have a conversation. You know, I have often thought that one of their turnoffs was that I did the Teach for America program, but they've endorsed several candidates in this race who are TFA alums. They don't talk about it. They don't say that they're TFA alums, but they are. There's a bunch of us running.
Karen, where do you come down on that? The reason why I ask this question is, I don't know if you remember the name Tom Foley, who was the Speaker of the House for a while. He came and gave a breakfast at the CBOE when I was on the board, and somebody asked him some dumb question about education, proving that the person asking the question didn't know anything. Well,
right.
Foley was saying that how many thousand school boards there are in this country that essentially make a lot of these decisions. And he said in France, which I never knew, every kid in France in fourth grade in the same day is reading the same page of the book.
Mm.
I mean, I had no idea. He goes, do you want us to be like that? And everybody goes, well, no. So what? We don't want the teacher doing it himself. We don't want the government doing it. What's the middle ground? I mean, who actually does decide all that stuff? I know I'm off topic on the election, but since you brought it up, I have to ask.
Sure. So principals make the curriculum decisions at their schools. What I think makes most sense, and curricula vary from school to school. What I think makes most sense is a standards-based curriculum and, frankly, a portfolio of curricula that principals would choose from so that we can have some measure of consistency and uniformity with respect to anticipated outcomes and inputs. You know, we have STEM schools, we have performing arts schools, we have schools that are focused on multilingualism and language acquisition. We still need to have some measure of consistency across our schools around what our kids are learning. I also want to see really rich literature in our schools. My son went to parochial school and private school until eighth grade and then public school for high school. And the literature that he got exposed to in grammar school, just, it was far superior to what he was dealing with in high school.
Well, I can imagine that. I did, I was parochial the whole way, but my nephews weren't. They went to Morgan Park and whatever. They have kind of an accelerated program there. And are you okay with the schools that nobody get into versus the other schools? Is that split become too big?
Yeah, I think that there's a big gulf. You know, what I say is that we have pockets of excellence throughout our district. I would like to see that spread evenly like peanut butter. 70% of kids in CPS go to schools outside of their zoned area, so outside of their neighborhood. I believe that our neighborhood schools need to also be schools of choice for our young people. And we've got to focus on equity, but we can't do it at the, you know, one at the expense of the other, right? It can't just be that we bolster our neighborhood schools, but then we lose all of the magic in our selective enrollment schools. I think what we need are more seats in our selective enrollment schools, more seats in our magnet school programs, so that every child has access to high quality education. I think the North Star should be that every neighborhood has a high quality school that's well resourced, that offers a high caliber education and after school programming, so that kids can just walk to a school and be met where they are, have their needs met, no matter what those needs are.
I would agree 100%.
That's not a reality.
Okay, yeah. we're gonna put this interview together, and Matt will, and he'll send it to you if you want to use any piece of it. God, feel free.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, thank you so much.
And we'll have you back on as a winner, I hope. But even if you don't, you're one of our favorite people. So once in a while, we want to talk about stuff. And anyway, good luck to you and everything. And I don't know, the last time I asked you, you want me to go try and vote 5 or 6 times before you told me no?
Yeah, no, don't do that. But thank you so much for your support. I appreciate it, and I hope to come back and talk to you again as a winner and a member of the school board.
Well, no matter however it works out tomorrow, you're a winner. So don't ever think that. SP Futures up 5, NASDAQ Futures up 7. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Matt Byrne on the board. Matt, nice job on that interview.
Thanks, you too.
Yeah, she's going to be an easier person to interview than her.
I mean, she's a very kind person, very easy to talk to. So, yeah, it was fun.
I'm glad I did some work on her background and jobs and stuff. And I did that before when she was running for the other. But you got to refresh yourself a little bit. But sure as I hope she gets on there. I mean,
absolutely.
I hope it's not something that she wants. And when she gets on there, wonders why the hell I did this. But she's the type of person who can sort of carry the room. I don't think she shies from anything. So
no, she's more than qualified. Yeah. On, you know, just as far as being just an overall good human being. You know,
she's for those on a personal level, the reason why we went to a shindig for Bobby Rush, or Bobby Rush was endorsed her for the spot, and she has the ability that very few people have, and I'd like to try and see, think that I do, but I don't think I do. When you're talking to her, her eyes lock on, and you're the only person in the room.
Mm.
And you know what? Very few people have that ability.
Absolutely.
And anyway, S&P Futures up 7, NASDAQ Futures up 17, the day before the election. Dow Futures down 16. Reason for that, just a couple poking around here. We've got Amazon down $1.70. For some reason, with the exception of NVIDIA, well, Microsoft's up a little bit now too, but Meta's down $3.78, Google's down 28 cents, Apple down $1.50. Tesla's down $4.38, and Amazon's down $1.70. So those stocks all had, most of them had earnings last week, and kind of going back and forth on the earnings piece. Over in Europe, mostly up, but not as up as it was. DAX now down 20.1%. FTSE, which was up 60, is only up 40.5%. CAC around, which was up some, is now down a buck, so call that flat. Over in Asia, most of these are up. Nikkei is closed today for some reason. Hang Seng's up 61.3%. Shanghai up 38, that's over 1%, 1.2%. The China Parliament is meeting, everybody's waiting for the big outcome there. Can't wait to see what China's Parliament has to say. Friday, Dow is up 288, S&P up 23, NASDAQ up 144 as it tried to come back from a horrible day on Thursday. Bonds down 7 basis points, 4.30. Bund unchanged, 2.40. Japan up one basis point, 0.95. Oil up $1.81. It was up over 2. 71.30. So it's moving up in the kind of the middle of the range here. Brent up $1.76. 70.46. Natural gas down 4 cents, 2.61. Gold up $1.80. 27.51. Just hanging in this 27.50-ish area. Silver up 13 cents, 32.81. Copper up 3 cents, 4.40. The U.S. dollar down a little bit. It has been strong, but the pound is up to 129.7, and the euro is up to 109, but that's, you know, it's still down from where they were. And we have Bitcoin up 106 to 68,873. What do you have for us real quick? Traffic, weather, sports, and we'll get to Audrey and Jen.
Yeah, it's currently 7:36 a.m. Here in Chicago, November 4th, 2024. As far as traffic, inbound on the Kennedy, it says 64 minutes from the James Byrd Interchange to O'Hare, outbound at 36. Weather in Chicago, humid and drizzly this morning, 64 at Midway, 63 at O'Hare. Later today, high of around 71 with chance showers. Down in Phoenix, 52 degrees today, clear skies. Later in the day, high of 72 and sunny skies. In the NFL yesterday, week 9 of the 2024 season, Bears lost to Arizona Cardinals 29-9. Bears are 4-4 and bottom of the NFC this season. Tonight, we'll be seeing the Buccaneers play the Chiefs at 7:15 p.m. Back to you, Chief.
Do we have Audrey? Do we have Jen?
We do indeed.
Jen, we were kind of rolling.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aud. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the interview. How'd I do, Jen? Were you okay?
Oh, that was fine, Todd. I wanted to let you talk because you're doing, you know, good job on it.
Well, all you have to do is kind of get her started in one direction, and she's very knowledgeable and very whatever. But speaking of knowledgeable, we have Audrey with us as well. Mm. Aud, how are you?
Fine. How are you this morning?
Okay. It was little bit of rain for us, but evidently poor Matt Byrne was getting deluged on the high far end of the Kennedy.
It was like the Mariana Trench.
Oh, God.
It was pretty bad.
Wow.
So, Aud, what's going on in the real estate world? Jan, pile in whenever you want, because I'm talked out here.
That's a shock. Yeah. I find that very hard to believe.
Yeah, well, God. I'm doing the best I can. So what's going on? And you said some, there's a few more houses out on the available. It's loosening up just a tad. The rates have kind of stabilized here, but maybe some people have to get in. They're going to get in, but you still have a lot of cash people flying back and forth too, right? So what's the sense of your world?
Well, I thought there's more inventory on the market. It seems like there's some a little more choice out there for people. Still fighting over what's the really, really nice, ready to move in houses. So still multiple offers. You know, still high, the prices are still up there, but you know, that tick of the interest rate helped, and I think we get a couple more rate cuts if they, as the Fed is saying now, that they've shoved us over the edge pretty much. That will also just help people to get back on the market. It'll also help people to decide to put their homes back on the market. It's for a fall season. I find it to be pretty busy right now. It really picked up about right around the interest rate time, and most of my peers are busy also. So looks like an active fall and holiday season.
Well, and I haven't asked you this in a while. When you say your peers, how many less real estate people, if any, are there now since before COVID? There has to be some attrition in the business, isn't there?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure everybody comes and goes because this business isn't for everybody. It's a hard business, especially if you're just starting. But everybody that I've worked with, I haven't heard about any of the people, established my friends, my established associates leaving yet. No.
Okay, but I mean, the amount of people, probably aren't been as people coming in the bottom end as there were before. Maybe not. That's why
I have. You know what? I don't track it. I don't know. I think there is. It's people come in the business a lot, and I'm sure John will say this also. You got a lot coming in. It's how many make it past the, I would say, 1 to 5 year mark. You know, you've got to have a lot of tenacity to get going in this business.
But I look at, like I said, I say on the air all the time, and I do, I absolutely try and stay out of Audrey's business. The last thing I want to do is screw it up. But it seems to me that virtually all, not, you know, of your stuff or people you've done business with, their families, their extended families, their friends. I mean, everything you get is, you kind of almost know the people. I mean, if you didn't have that, how many people just call you up and say, hey, I need a real estate person?
Well, that's the challenge of establishing yourself and working, because you people forget that when you become a real estate agent, you are a self-employed business person. You know, you're an independent contractor, and there's nobody to hang your hat on but you. So, you know, you have to get out and hustle and make contacts and do business and work. And well, I have to say, after these many years of being out there, I would say right now my business is around 75% to 80% referral business every year. So all the hard work I did all these years, thank God, is coming home to roost. And to your point, I have a lot of families that I've sold all the kids and the mom and dad, and now the kids.
What are you doing out there? It sounds like you're shoveling snow, for God's sake.
Is what?
It sounds like you're shoveling. Is that your mic or John? Somebody.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. It sounds like you're shoveling snow in the driveway, but I don't think it snowed.
Wow.
John, what do you have to say? You answer away here. You've been quiet for a while. You let me. You didn't butt in with or contribute, wherever we want to look at it, between me and Karen. She, by the way, well, Karen is she's on the list of dirty Republicans from the Chicago Public School System. Can you believe that?
Boy, oh boy, good for her. That takes guts.
But she's not. She goes, I've never been a Republican. She's on here. So is the lady in my district. So then guess who the Tribune endorsed for District 5?
Not her.
No candidate worthy.
You know, first of all, the papers suck. We all know that. The Tribune and you can't even use them for wrapping paper anymore, because even the paper's a lousy quality. So lousy writers, lousy paper. You should just close it. But that's another story. But no, I think that, God, somebody needs to get on the school board. I think they should just dismantle it. Somebody should just start a competing system. You know, just the hell with the school board. Somebody should just take over the empty buildings, hire teachers to teach, lure the ones away that still want to teach, that don't want to be bothered teaching everything but reading, writing, math. No contracts, because if your students don't, you can have a contract, but if 93% of your kids can't read and write at grade level every year, then you need to move out and find something else to do.
Well, she was she's pretty diplomatic, but she did seem like she was down on the political nature of the Chicago teachers soon. Was that a fair statement, Jen?
Oh, it's such a waste of dues, and they've got people that, I don't know how these kids aren't learning anything, but there's a lot of the teachers that are teaching, there's some fabulous teachers out there, thank God. But a lot of these have been so swayed by political ideologies and what they should be teaching and being woke. Our kids are, I would say, going into the second generation of learning so minimal that they can't function in the real world. I mean, the lack of education and just knowledge of day-to-day life, let alone reading, writing, and if you can't get your basics, how are you ever going to excel in the technology you're going to need to succeed in this world?
I have no idea, but you know, I did one good piece of news, Jen, and it's my nephew's lovely bride, Bernadette. She's a teacher in one of the near south suburbs.
She's a wonderful teacher.
And she, you know what she said about it? She said that now that the COVID class is kind of gone, and she doesn't know how they're ever going to catch up, says the new classes now, after a couple of years, she goes, kids are damn near right close back to normal. It's a joy teaching again. It's not near as much of a chaos as it was the last 3 or 4 years. Because these kids are actually in there learning and doing some stuff.
Well, you know, it's not only the learning, it's learning how to sit still, and the behavior you know, some of these schools, I mean, the teachers are just like, you know, just trying to keep them getting through the day, not getting killed or having the kids kill each other. And you know, it's very frightening to be a teacher in a lot of these schools. And the fact that the school board in the city of Chicago does not address these issues, I mean, how could kids learn if they're afraid or distracted? Take the school, I agree with that school phone problem policy. No, you don't need a phone in class. You could drop it, you could pick it up at the end of the day. No kid needs their phone during the day. And I think they should be at all, that's a different subject. But I think that there's simply the discipline, the behavior expected that's supposed to be taught at home before kids get to school, that is sorely lacking. So if a teacher's afraid and the kids are afraid, what is going to happen in the classroom?
Oh, I know. I remember we had a nun in, I don't know, it was third grade or fourth grade, whatever it was. And the deal was, even though we had 40 kids in a class, you could get up and sharpen your pencil if you needed to, right? So it's snowing out. And one kid gets up and he sharpens his pencil. Another guy gets up, sharpens his pencil. By about the third or fourth, the nun goes, "Are you really sharpening your pencil, or are you looking to see how much snow we're getting?" The kid goes, "Well, kind of both." And then he goes, "All right, we got an hour left. We know we all want to go out and get in a snowball fight. Why don't we all get up, go over to the window, take a look, sit down for an hour, and then we'll go out and hope we have more snow." And everybody goes, "Okay." It was like, had kind of an understanding of whatever. Let's all get up. Let's all take a look. We see how we got another hour. And then we can all go out and get in a snowball fight. And everybody goes, "Okay."
Wow, just for an innocent day of a snowball fight, not drug dealing in the schoolyard.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Well, yeah, it was a different time. But
you know, one thing, Tom, when I was listening to Karen, that I found kind of reassuring in all this crazy political mess, but she showed a willingness to listen to teachers, and she understands that they should be well paid and all that, which I think any teacher, a member of the union, would like to hear. And I was trying to put the best possible gloss on all of this nuttiness that's going on with her campaign. But this is the first time we've had elections for school board members. And I guess it would be understandable that everybody will be jockeying to get their foot in the door politically, to put the best possible spin on what their objectives are. So it isn't surprising maybe that there's so much money being thrown at this race and that the politics are so overheated. And I like to think, you know, the Chicago Teachers Union holds elections too, and maybe at some point their membership craziness can be diluted as more members get disgusted with what's happening. And if you get people like Karen in there working with reasonable people, it could be the kind of school board that they envisioned when they called for an elected one. So,
well, Jan, what do you,
I felt kind of reassured after listening to her today. So
what do you think, since you brought it up, what are the Bodias, they say in the South, what do you think the Chicago Teachers Union balance sheet looks like with all these loans for these political grants?
Well, if they released their audits, we'd know, but, you know, they don't, so.
I have a question for you guys, because, I mean, it may not sound like it all the time, but I absolutely respect your opinion. Now, when I was working at the Chicago, when you say they should be paid well, okay, so I'm going to say, I'll be like Milton Friedman here. Jan, define well. When I started at the Chicago Public Schools as a janitor, when I say I started, I was a janitor. But I had my ears open even then. And I'm going to say, people, this was the teachers at that time, well, a year or two before that, were inevitably female, right, Odd? They mm-hmm. were. It was the second job in the family. Certainly in the Catholic schools, you always taught at the school in your parish, not always, but most of the time, where you could walk to school. You didn't need a second car. Your kids probably went to the same school. You walked home with the kids for lunch, for God's sake. It was an honorable position and a very dedicated position, but it was considered something the lady of the family did in addition to the guy. Now, a lot of times they were the full breadwinner, so don't make it sound like I'm some, you know, Luddite here. But by and large, and then all of a sudden you had people, you could, I use the term dodge the draft, which is what happened, and you could become a teacher. So all of a sudden you get this influx of a lot of male teachers, right, Jan and Odd? And they'll know they're the primary breadwinner. I'm going to say, if you had a median salary in Chicago, say it was $500. I'm going to say the teachers made $354. Am I somewhat close? Well, now when you say they need to be paid well, now we've realized that you can't just have the teachers as a secondary job, because it's a full-time job for people, and you can't count on everybody being female with a husband working. I mean, it's crazy. So it has to be like a real job. We all get that part. And by the way, people are traveling there, so you got to have gas and car and all the other kind of crap. So now the salaries have come like way up. But in terms of versus a median, I'm going to say right now the average teacher makes 1.5 to 2 times the median, which I guess my number is what's the number? I mean, if a lot of people in the city are making 60 grand, a teacher with a bachelor's degree that knows what they're doing, teaching certificates and stuff, numbers 75, 80, 90, 200, where is it? I mean,
one of my clients, she's a brand new teacher, teaching at a grammar school, actually out in Chicago Ridge. And she had, you know, when we were talking about what she could afford for a house, and she told me she was starting at $48,000.
Okay.
Now, that's not a lot of money.
No, it isn't. And now in a city, if you go and get a bachelor or another degree, it goes up by like 20 or something. I mean, I'm just throwing these numbers out there. I'm saying, my question is, when you say well paid, what do you mean? I mean, I want to see people well paid too, but the question is, I mean, I'd love to hire an assistant. What's the number?
No, I don't know. I think you always should go to a merit system with teachers. So say she gets hired at her $50,000. Okay, and then I would not give anybody a contract yet, because then you can't get rid of them. So maybe no contract for 5 years. But every year, or let's say even twice a year, you get reviewed. And if your kids are performing, and how well your kids are performing is whether you get a raise or not. So it should be like any other business. If you produce exceptional students, you get an exceptional salary. If you suck, well, then you're going to bump along at the bottom. I don't think there'd be any. I think it should all be on merit.
Yep. I think Karen, and should she get in, she'll have lots of interesting discussions about the difference between, you know, well-paid teachers and very well-paid teachers. And I would say it's the latter that applies right now, at least given the work product that we see. So there's lots of readjusting to be made to what these teachers really do deserve as pay.
Well, then you get paid more the more you go to school too. So right. Like I know one of my friends, when she retired, she was working in a suburban school, and she had gotten her master's, and by the time she retired, she was making, you know, low six figures.
Yeah, that's the part I don't necessarily.
And you're teaching the same thing, so, and I'm not arguing that, but yes, getting paid for more education is good, but that's, the big discussion is.
Well, and by the same token, my salary as a community college teacher in the South Suburbs looked pretty pathetic beside the, you know, salary schedule of the CTU.
And, well, that's my point. I mean, of course, the inflation fiasco of our last two presidencies, and COVID and other stuff. I mean, I don't know how you can make 50 G and commute to a place, and God help you if you got a family and have to have a car and all the other stuff. I mean, how do you make that work? I mean, people do.
But,
I mean, it's pretty hard to.
I think, again, like you go. It's like any other government organization. Get rid of all the assistants and the graft and the hangers-on. Or you don't need a million people to run a school system. You just don't. What your basics. You can have one person for each district to supervise, all report in. I can't see it's that hard.
Well, just the two extremes. When I was at St. John Fisher Grammar School, and again, a funeral I went to, our wake was at a gentleman who stayed in St. Linus, and they were two parishes over, right, John?
Yeah.
On 103rd Street. It was St. Catherine's and, Queen of Martyrs, St. Catherine's, and then there were three parishes over. And St. John Fisher had four classes in every grade. Irish people are good for some things. And two kindergartens. And every class had 40 kids in it. Right, the kindergartens didn't have 40 probably. But so we're talking, 4 times 8 is 32, plus the two kindergartens, it's 34 teachers. They had a principal, an assistant, a music teacher, and two janitors. So we're talking 5 indirect for 34 direct. I'm using my cost accounting terms here. And if somebody was sick, if your teacher was sick, which you had to be like on deathbed not to come in, the principal came and taught. So that wasn't exactly a breaker day, was it, for the principal teaching you? She was worse.
No, that was always harder.
It was always hard. So now
I dreaded those days.
Yeah. So fast forward to the University of California. I read this a few years ago. I did some study on it because we were having somebody on as a guest. I think they have 10 indirect people for every teacher.
And that's just nuts.
That's just nuts. I mean,
right. And it's just as bad, or if not worse, in Chicago per capita. Time. I mean, the CTU does take a lot of well-deserved criticism for its waste, but the CPS system, with its administrators and, you know, people in jobs that, you know, don't create any educational product whatsoever, it's a much bigger problem in some ways because they don't get the kind of you know, criticism, or they're not in the public eye as much as the teachers, which are always rabble-rousing during their contract negotiations. But the CPS is such a wasteful system that, you know, we can't blame it all on the CTU.
I'll bet that...
No, you're right. You're right, but I think that all these systems, graft and waste and laziness needs to be eliminated, and that's the fight here, that's the fight in Washington, it's the fight in government. Government has gotten so out of control that look at it, it's in your education system damaging the future generations.
Well, I'm going to say, my memory's fading a hair, but I'm going to say I wasn't 8 years at St. John Fisher, I was 6, but if I'd have been there 8, and Marist High School for 4, when you talk about days teachers didn't show up because they were sick, I'm going to take the under on 10 for 12 years.
Oh, my God. Very seldom. Even I went to Chicago Public School and grammar school and high school, and I feel I've got a very good education. When I graduated from my grammar school, I was able to place out of most of my freshman year required classes. The last day they would let you test out. And when I applied to college, I applied and got everyone I applied to. So the whole system has changed so dramatically that I think you ought to look back, to look what worked, and then you have to look to a little bit to the future, going, how could we do this? And I think going back to a merit system to be paid and clean out the top extra layers that you don't need, I would go a long way for it.
By the way, your name came up in the interview, and talking about Kelly High School, and Karen said her mom was principal at CVS.
Wow.
And she goes, it was more of a societal shift that nobody wanted their kids learning any of that kind of stuff anymore, and they all weren't everybody going to college, and it wasn't like the schools decided they wanted to do that. That's what everybody wanted them to do.
And now, like what?
Well, they wanted everybody to be college prepped. They didn't want any kids learning how to be carpenters or anything anymore. That was a kind of a societal shift.
I might have been the last group where there was, you know, shop and woodworking and, you know, typing and all that stuff for. They actually prepared groups. Kelly High School was a huge high school. My graduating class was 1,200 kids. There were 4 shifts. So, and the teachers managed to make it through the day teaching 3 or 4 shifts of kids. School started at 7:30, and the last class, I think, ended around 5:30. So these teachers were pulling some pretty big gates.
How big was the place?
Oh, it's huge. Kelly High School is a huge place. Took up the whole corner at Archer in California. I mean, we had, that's a, but you know, it was a 3-story giant old brownstone, but we had to graduate at McCormick Place because there wasn't enough room for us. But be that as it may, they also had tested you, and I don't know if you guys had this experience. You guys were Catholic school kids, you probably didn't, but 8th grade before you got in, you took a placement test, and back then they had whatever you tested into, so they had, let me think, basic, essential, basic, regular, honors, and advanced placement. Now that's for a city high school. And you fell into one of those categories, and you went to a class with people where you were at. So A, you didn't get left behind, but the people who were farther ahead got a chance to learn higher itself. You were started at a higher spot. Like I had a lot of advanced placements, allowed me to test out of a lot of stuff for freshman year of college. But what's good about it is that even if you started at the very essential, and this is the kids who could, you know, couldn't even barely read and write, they tested every year. And then if you tested out, you could go up. You could make a jump from essential to regular or whatever. So there was the option to improve yourself, and the teachers were aware of what they were dealing with. Everybody was in the same class, so the teachers could pay attention to what those kids needed.
Well, Marist had an honors academic in general. You know, my big criticism of Marist was that the people in general, there wasn't really, you had mechanical drawing and those kinds of things, but there wasn't really anything in relation to wood shop or any of those kinds of things, which you probably should have had, which, by the way, I would have been happy to take.
You guys were all supposed to be priests, that's why.
Oh, God. We had brothers, no priests. Were you guys brothers or priests, John?
Both. Probably more priests than brothers. But yeah, I got in trouble one time when I asked if I could take a mechanical drawings class because I was in the honors program, and the counselor was as nicely as he could be. You know, said, "Well, what in the world do you want to take mechanical drawing for? You're in a college prep program. You should be taking a class that's going to fit for that. And you know, what possible interest would you ever have in mechanical drawing?"
Wow.
I was very hurt by it because I wanted to know how to do it. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know if my parents would have gone for that. I don't think I even told them I was angling for this. They probably would have been horrified too. But
well, I took
maybe not. I shouldn't say that.
I took
wood
shop.
That was the kind of
over at Graver,
you were trapped, you know, in a way.
The Park District, Graver Park had a big woodworking place. I took two courses in woodworking at Graver Park. Did you ever do that?
No, but I know it was offered and other stuff like that at Avalon Park and at Ridge Park.
Yeah, right? Ridge Park, too. I bet the Park District doing that stuff now? I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
No.
They certainly don't do it in the schools, I know that.
No. Well, Art, thank you very much, Jan. Thank you. How would you rate my interview? Is it okay, you think?
Yeah, I think you helped Karen, and I think, you know, she's got a lot to offer, and I think it will play well. I'd like to see her go places with this job, and it was a pleasure listening to her.
I agree.
Yeah, I just hope she doesn't get involved in something that's just a royal pain in the ass you can't get anywhere. But I have a feeling she makes something
out of
nothing.
She'll have good stories to tell if it does.
Oh, God, yeah. SP Futures up 250, NASDAQ Futures down 17. Thank you all. Fun day. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
I hate goodbyes.
That's all, folks.